Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to God the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Back when I was beginning my ministry back in Michigan, we still had a chance to have visits and presentations, and Ozzie Hoffman, the Lutheran Hour speaker, spoke to our pastors in one of the churches in Dearborn, Michigan. And he talked about the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. I had, until that point, not paid a whole lot of attention to it, but he said, and I know Colossians and Ephesians are very, very close to each other, but he said Colossians for him is the letter about the church. What does it mean to be the people of God? And as we look forward to ordaining and installing Pastor Cooey next Sunday, it is for us also to remember, what is the church? What is this all about anyway? It is a group of people gathered by God himself to do his will. There are a lot of other organizations we can belong to and interests that we might have, but this is done to praise and honor him and to carry out that good news of salvation to others. As Rachel and I looked again at the explanation to the first article of the Creed, those words come out at the end of the first article explanation by Luther: to thank and praise, to serve and obey. That first we come and gather together in his presence to praise and honor our Lord, and then we go out to love people as he has loved us. That's really what the Samaritan is doing. He's loving people who are loved by God, not for something he will get, but to give something away. And so I kind of fell in love with this letter. I'm sure every one of you remember that the first 4 weeks that I was here, this is the study that I did. The first 4 weeks was a study on Colossians. I'm sure you all remember going through that in Bible class with me. I had thought to do it at the last 4 weeks as well, but then I saw these lessons were coming, so I said, well, we'll do it during worship. Paul says, first of all, I thank God because I hear about your faith. I hear that you are believers. I hear that you've come to know Christ as your Savior. This is not one of Paul's own churches. This is not one that he planted directly. And yet the word is out. These people believe in Christ as their Lord and Savior. In a Roman Empire where Caesar was Lord for most, These people say, Christ is my Lord. He has delivered me. And as we talk in Life with God class about active and passive, what's done to me, and then what do I do, we realize that just as Jesus is saying to that good Samaritan, or to the lawyer, you cannot inherit eternal life. It is a gift from the Creator and Lord of life. So Paul says the same thing. You were delivered. You have been brought into a new relationship. Sometimes people will say, well, we need to get the baby baptized. We need to get that done. No, we need to get that started. When we are baptized, we begin a walk with the Lord. Our eternal brokenness from God is gone. Our eternal life is restored. Now, it might be enough for somebody to say, well, I know about all that stuff. Well, I also know many things that are part of my daily life. I know that I need to hear about being loved and cared for and being part of a community and a family. We have that same thing that goes on here. We gather for worship so we can hear what God Himself has done for us, how He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. While we were dead in our trespasses and sins, He made us alive, is how Paul talks about that in Ephesians. And so two kind of things go. There are two sections here. And when I was going through with my members in Michigan talking about how we respond with our time and talents and treasures, I would read this all through. Because the first thing is he says, I rejoice with what I hear you know. Because your faith and your love is based on your hope. You see all the way into eternity, and you see that you're going to be with the Lord forever, and you let that shape what's going on in your life. That you're not looking about how do I get there, but what happens because I've been caught up in Christ's death and resurrection, and I'm already on that track. Now, how do I give this life a different focus? One that's not trying to get awards and praise, but one that hands out the forgiveness and the love that He gives. And it is hard. It is not easy. We do not know always even how to do that. And thus, there are times we have to come to our God and say, please, help us in the midst of our befuddled nature, in the midst of our hurts and our doubts and our fears. Guide us anyway, Lord. Don't let us go. And so here, Paul says, I am so thankful for that. And yet, he says, I want you to grow in your awareness. You're not going to get closer to the Lord, but as we were just talking about in Bible class this morning, you'll have a better sense of how do I respond as a Christian. People often say, my first reaction is the best one. I disagree. My first reaction is usually my fallen, sinful human nature reaction. The second one is when the Holy Spirit catches me and says, hey, wait a minute. Watch out. Don't go away from me. Don't go away from my love. Don't go away from my mercy. And thus, if we're not hearing about His grace and mercy, then our first one is the one we praise ourselves for and go on and act according to. But if we say, let the love of Christ move us to act, then we say, Lord, how do I shape my life in the sense of the good news of what you have done for me? How do I take my ideas and filter them through a cross and an empty tomb? How do you settle me down so that I can live honorably in this world, even in the midst of all of its brokenness? How can I be proud in the midst of this world that I am a Christian, that I'm saved and redeemed? Not because I qualify for it by doing all the good stuff, but because I have been given that life everlasting. And so on this day when we celebrate with you, Rachel, as you say, I'm one of those too. We remember our own baptism. We remember and reaffirm every time we worship in the name of the Father and Son and Spirit that this is the real world that is not going to pass away. This is the one that lasts forever. And in the midst of the brokenness, We celebrate a restoration that goes on forever and ever. And Paul says, don't quit thinking about that. Don't quit searching about that. Don't think, I know it all now. But continue to hunger and thirst to hear that good news and to ask the Lord to help you in your daily life to respond with your time and your talents and your treasures, to respond with the love that he poured into you. Because our job as Christians is to extend that eternal grace and mercy out to others. That's what's on the heart of God. The will of God, Luther says, is that God hinders and defeats every evil scheme and purpose of the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature that would prevent us from hallowing his name and extending his kingdom. There are many things about our daily life that are part of give us this day our daily bread that often take our attention. But the most important thing is that people will be with him forever, settled, bound up, not just with oil and wine, but with his holy and precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, that we can be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. It's the way it is this day, the 10th of July, 2016, year of our Lord.